There was a report released last week by Ultrarum, a health research organization that estimated that the total cost of lost earnings and taxes, as well as health care, legal and social service costs of the opioid crisis, reached $95 billion in 2016. $95 billion. Let's see, there was a study I released way back in 2013 that the cost was $78.5 billion. So you get the idea, it is exploding. Even here in Kentucky, the president of the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce back in September, David Atkinson, said that the state's illicit drug use is a factor in the state's low workforce participation rate. Atkinson says many people actively looking for work can't pass a drug test required for employment, and many of those who do have jobs are exiting the workforce due to untreated or undertreated addictions. He thinks that prevention and treatment has to be a top priority for the state, and thinks that opiate abuse threatens Kentucky's ability to retain and attract business investment. I mean, we had a low labor workforce pool even before all this opiate stuff. Atkinson says if we were simply at the national average, there would be 165,000 more workers in the Kentucky economy than there are today. Opiate addiction is just one of the contributing factors to that, but it is a significant factor. So I wanted to talk to somebody who employs, goes out and looks for and actively canvasses for addicts, recovering addicts, to come to work to try to rebuild their lives. Because if you don't have something productive to do, it seems to me it's going to be doubly hard or triply hard for you to overcome your addiction. Plus, how do you start a new life without some substance in order to do that and a purpose? And then I remembered a few weeks ago we had as a sweet deal Deviate Kitchen, which opened recently on South Broadway. And so I called out there today, and Rob Perez and his wife operate the Deviate Kitchen, which has hired recovering addicts in its restaurant, in its business. And so I invited Mr. Perez to come on the program today to talk about his experiences and his challenges in hiring recovering addicts. Rob, thanks for agreeing to come on the program today, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So when I called the restaurant this morning looking for you, the woman who answered the phone, was she a recovering addict?
She was.
Yeah. I mean, does everybody who works in that restaurant have a story to tell or an experience, a life they're trying to change?
Well, 70% of the workforce here at Deviate is in active recovery. Another 15% is directly affected by addiction and are trying to live their life in a different way. So, it's prevalent, including me. I went through rehab at 25.
Wow, okay. And so is that what motivated you and your wife to give this a try in your and you own other restaurants? I don't know if you practice this in the other restaurants you own. Do you mind if I say what other restaurants you and your wife operate?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The three Sawgood locations. You and your wife operate all three Sawgood locations. By the way, that happens to be our sweet deal this week. Yeah, get a little plug in there while we can.
thank you.
But is this what motivated you, your own personal experience?
Well, yeah, it's part of it. I mean, it's our beliefs. It's our a love for, Kentucky and Lexington in particular. And the plain fact that we've lost 11 people at our three restaurants in a 17-year cumulative time to not just, termination because of alcohol or drug abuse, but to death.
Yes, so, and, you mean 11 people have died of overdoses in your restaurants in the last, and what period of time did you say?
17 years cumulative, mm-hmm, at each of the three restaurants, and it's prevalent in the industry that we absolutely love.
Yeah.
And so it really, I can't take credit for the idea. It was all my wife's idea. She was the one that believed in it, and I was very skeptical that you could do a social enterprise with folks that were in recovery and still be viable. But with the more research that we did, we canvassed every single second chance business we could find, from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and everything in between. And we determined that there was a way that we could do it. And, so we took a stab at it, and for the last 90 days, we've been open.
So have the employees that you've hired in that 90-day period of time, have they showed up for work? Have they done everything that you or any other employer would ask of an employee to do? I would imagine, you know, Rob, in managing people, you have some that are high maintenance, that take a lot of care and feeding. You know, others you don't have to so much, but then you're always going to have some that require that TLC all the time. I would imagine you've got a restaurant full of the 70% that work. They're all high-maintenance employees, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, the restaurant industry is close to 100% turnover rate annually anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm used to it in some, in some respects. But this is taking on a much bigger challenge. The advantage we have at Deviate is we crafted the whole business around the idea of trying to assist people in early stages of alcohol or drug addiction. And so what we've done is we've partnered up with 7 different residential living facilities, and we work hand in glove with the caseworkers there. They manage things like checking in and out of the house each day and night. They manage whether or not someone's working a program, and they manage drug or alcohol testing each week. We sign HIPAA documents that between the employee, the halfway house is the old term for it, and us, and we end up knowing exactly if they break any rules. And our accountability is really strong with the caseworker, and knowing that if they break the rules of the house, they also lose their job. So we've had, while it's a very small sample size, mm-hmm. we've had an amazing response, and we couldn't be more thrilled with the reliability, the quality of work, and, you know, just really the outcome in the first 90 days of working with people that are, you know, in a second chance position.
And I guess for those that are truly of the mindset that they want to recover, they realize the opportunity you and your wife are giving them is something they can't afford to blow. They can't afford to ruin that opportunity. And so you probably have an ultra motivated employee. Maybe not all of them, and I'm sure you've probably. How many have you lost? Have you lost not to death necessarily, overdose, but they didn't obey the house rules, or they didn't show up for work, or they were using on the job or something, or they came in under the influence. I mean, you have to have let some of them go.
Yeah, you know, in full transparency, we've lost 2 people that are out on the streets, and it is heartbreaking. I can't tell you that I didn't cry over it, because I did. Mm. But, you know, the reality of it is that we're helping 16. And today, we got to help 16. And we are working really hard at showing a standard with our second chance employees and all of our employees that our customers can hold us accountable to. We really believe we're given 20% better food, service, and atmosphere than what the guests are paying for. Hmm. With the idea that we're setting a standard for the employees that's 20% better at work than maybe what they've done before,
right,
so that they take that standard into being a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, you know, a citizen of the Commonwealth, and try to live their life with a higher standard. I mean, that's kind of the goal. But the cool thing about it is that it also provides a great business axiom, and, you know, and that's something that we strive for. And so not only are they reliable, but the quality of work is just unbelievable. And in return, we're giving them 20% higher wages than what they could make anywhere else for the same job. And it's just been working really, really well, and I'm really excited about it.
Do you get any incentive from the city government or state government, any assistance on the public sector, from the public sector in your endeavor?
It's funny. I just had a conversation with the governor's workforce cabinet representative yesterday in Bourbon County. And the odd thing is that there's not a way for a social enterprise like Deviate to accept government money. There are grants out there, but to be super honest, I think that I'd be managing that process more than I'd be running a restaurant in order to apply it, whether or not we could even, you know, receive it. And to be super honest, I'm a restaurant guy. I am not good at writing grants or managing the process that the government requires when you're doing it. I mean, we've done this as a true social enterprise, and it's all been built on the backs of the citizens of Lexington and the Bluegrass, and even down to the hard money we went to 25 families, and they donated an interest-free loan to us to try to be able to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And so we had to really call upon the citizens to be able to try to help us. And everybody responded in a big way.
That's a great story about, you know, geez, the paperwork, the applying for the grants. My God, I got a restaurant to run here. So it's better for you not to take the incentive. As a recovering addict yourself, Rob, what does this hiring practice, I'm sure it has to is contributing to your recovery.
Oh, gosh. I can't even tell you the benefits that this is providing to my recovery and who I am as a human being, as a Christian too. I mean, it's been so rewarding. I can't even tell you. And this isn't a vehicle where my wife and I are making any money on this. We've pledged all of our money away in this process. And this is, Solgood has to pay for our bills, and mm-hmm. and this really just fills up our heart. And it is amazing how broken even, our society is based on just addiction. Every day someone comes in guest-wise three times a day where they're crying with me because, they lost their son or their daughter or their brother's out there, or unfortunately their dad, was addicted and beat him up all growing up. And it's just a place of recovery, but it's more than that. It's also a place to get great food, and the staff that's here is really learning a trade and how to recreate their own life and change from how they were before, and it's been super rewarding.
You do mention the level of addiction in the restaurant industry, and turnover is higher than in most other industries. But on the same token, there are too many addicts and not enough restaurants to employ them. And part of the path to recovery, to getting over this opiate crisis and helping people who are addicted, it's not just building more recovery centers. It's helping them build a life afterwards, a productive life. Do you, in your experience, is this going to be hard to copy in other industries? Besides your own, where, again, you as a restaurant owner have experienced high turnover and high levels of alcohol and or drug abuse?
I think it can work in any industry. The difference is that we have to make a social decision that if someone is trying to help themselves, and we have picked a specific segment of the population, recovery addicts that are trying to help themselves. But unfortunately, a background check, even if you just got out of a six-month recovery program where you've been sober for 6 months and you've tried your rear end off to reconstruct your life, if an employer does a background check and is not willing to take that into consideration, there's no way that addicts can be employed. And you started off this conversation with a giant truth. People need to have a job and meaningful employment in order to just exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of the internet, we now have $8 background checks, and that there's so many folks that are in recovery that unfortunately have had some run in with the law. And generally it's not violent, or it hasn't, anything to do with anything other than trying to acquire drugs or possessing drugs. And they're still not given a chance after deconstructing their life through rehab for 6 months and all the work that went into it. But I think it has to be a social change that we're willing to make, where we'd make exceptions for that and not be ruled by the fear of being, hurt by an ex-addict or being stolen from or whatever. We just have to get over that. If someone's trying to help themselves, I feel like we should, as business people, make exceptions.
Well, that's well said, and I will say the woman that answered my call this morning couldn't have been more gracious or professional. Seriously, so she was terrific. Rob, it's a very inspiring story, and you and your wife, I hope more people take up your all's example, and that might help us get out of this opiate mess, and again, give some of the addicts a reason to want to recover. And I appreciate your time this afternoon, and anything else we can do for you in this endeavor, don't hesitate to call and let us know.
Okay. thanks for shedding a little light on it, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rob Perez. The Deviate Kitchen is at 867 South Broadway, and he and his wife also run the Three Sawgood locations here in town.